right. If you're joining us for the first time this week, welcome. I want to tell you a little bit about what we're doing this year. We're working our way through this book by Mark Moore every Sunday. It's called Core 52. It's a great study tool that we're going to work our way through this whole year as a church. We'll be studying it week by week. And if you didn't get a copy of this yet, you can still do that, order it online or even download it straight to your Apple device and iBooks or straight to your Kindle or however Google does that, I'm not sure. But we hope that you'll join us in this study this year. You can jump in at any point. Each week is kind of an independent study that kind of connects to everything else. And so let me just also say that we'll be hosting, as I talked about earlier, small groups digitally until we're told it's safe to meet in person. Now, here's kind of what it looks like to meet like that online. This was our elders meeting yesterday. We had a time of prayer. These men prayed for our church family and for our community. And so it looks a little bit like the Brady Bunch, you know, the way you meet, but I think we can all kind of get used to that. So this might be a great time for you to jump into small groups, or we can help you form a small group, or you can continue to study. The platform we're going to use is called Zoom. It allows up to 100 people to meet through a video on their phone or computer or tablet. So if you haven't signed up, do it. Let's do that today. Just kidding. We'd love to have you in that as soon as possible. If you have a Bible handy or a phone that you're not watching this on, you want to look at the scripture. We're going to be in Psalm 27 today, and we're continuing in a series that we're calling Mixtape. Mixtape is God's book of songs to us. In the center of the Bible, there is a book of songs, and they cover a wide range of styles, moods, moments, and even instruments, because they are the soundtrack of our spiritual lives. And embedded in these songs are some of the deepest truths and some of the highest promises pointing to Jesus. This week I read that Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson have contracted the COVID-19 virus, and it looks like they're doing okay. I've seen some posts that they've had. They look like they're making it through this okay. But they, while they're on quarantine together, they put together a playlist or a mixtape of sorts, a playlist these days, called Quarantunes. Now, here's a few of the songs on their list. One of the songs on that playlist is, on Quarantunes, is I Want to Be Sedated by the Ramones, which is kind of funny. Destiny's Child song Survivor is on that playlist. I Want to Break Free by Queen is on that. Even Kelly Clarkson made it. Stronger, What Doesn't Kill You is on that playlist as well. And then finally, my personal favorite on that playlist is MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This. Pretty funny. But I want to do something together this morning. While you're watching, let's make our own playlist, okay? If you're watching on Facebook right now, I want you to start putting in some songs. And we'll call this the How to Survive a Pandemic playlist or mixtape. And in the comment section, put the worship song that is helping you through this time. Like if there's a song that you've kind of been listening to, kind of leaning into, put that in the list, and maybe that will help somebody else. See, I think God created music to soothe the soul. I think it can be therapeutic. So go ahead, while we're watching, or while you're watching, while we're meeting right now, write in the comments some of the songs, worship songs, Christian songs that are speaking to you right now. Maybe that song you're listening to will encourage somebody else. I think it's going to be really awesome. Today, we're going to work our way through in God's mixtape as this series. I want us to talk about something that I think is affecting most of us right now. One word, worry. Worry is to give way to anxiety or to unease, allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. See, I think there are a lot of things we could worry about right now. Some are serious. Some are just where we are in society right now. Years ago, I used to visit my parents, and one of their closets, they kept different supplies. And I used to give my dad a hard time because they always had so much paper towels and toilet paper. Like, my dad would go to Sam's Club, and he would buy the bulk cases of toilet paper. I mean, like he was running a small business out of the house with just he and my mother, right? And we still, 3 years after my parents have passed away, we're still using the paper towels they had in the house when they passed. And so I used to give my dad a hard time about that. Dad, why do y'all need so much toilet paper? I mean, I don't understand, but now I'm thinking my dad was pretty smart, right? He was kind of a toilet paper prophet of sorts, right? So there are other things that are more serious that we worry about. Right now, we're worried about toilet paper, but we're also worried about our health. We're worried about finances. Kids are worried about school, getting used to an online platform. We're all a little on the edge with so much uncertainty. In a study conducted by Psychology Today, a number of years ago, students in a student population, it was clear that worries fell into a number of different domains. And these domains were these five basic things: relationships, work, financial, aimless future, and lack of confidence. Notice that each of these different areas of worry center around one thing: stability. Right? Everyone longs to find a place where they feel stable in this world. One of my favorite passages from the Old Testament is Psalm 27. So today in God's mixtape, let's look at this song, which is about fear, it's about worry, it's about anxiety, and how the Bible tells us to deal with it. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 14. If you have your Bible, I'm going to read a few of these, and then we're going to kind of work our way through the rest of these. Psalm 27, starting in verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. There's one thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon the rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." So here in God's mixtape, he gives us an outline for how not to worry. Now, most self-help remedies about worry say, don't sit around and visualize what could go wrong. But that's not really what David does here, right? And that sounds right. But did you notice that that's not David's approach to worry? He isn't imagining only good things happening in his life. He's actually imagining bad things happening. If you keep reading, look at verse 10. It says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Now, there's no indication that his father and mother have forsaken him. He's simply imagining that they could. Look back at verse 3. "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear." It's not that an army has attacked David. He's simply prospecting that this could happen. And what is David's response? "My heart will not fear." If you've lived any amount of life, I think you would agree that there will be difficult times. Even Jesus warns us about this. John 16:33, Jesus says, "I have told you these things that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, it's true that there's no reason to worry about things that haven't happened yet, right? That's kind of what self-help says. Don't get all strung out about things that haven't even happened yet. But it's also true that there will be trouble in this life, and how we prepare ourselves spiritually, emotionally, it will matter. So you can either act like those things won't happen, or you can build a strategy for life that prepares you for difficult times. In verse 3, he says, "I have so much freedom from anxiety and fear that I have enough left over that even if an army came up, I'd be okay. I'd be able to handle it. I am confident of this." You see, confidence is the opposite of worry. So verse 3 says that my confidence is so high that I'm not anxious about anything. And then verse 4, he gives us the secret. There are three verbs in verse 4: dwell, to gaze, and to seek. Those are the three. Now, how can you have a strategy that will enable you to face any anxiety? It's right here in God's mixtape. Let's look at verse 4. Psalmist says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this one thing do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." The psalmist says, there's one thing I ask. Only one thing do I seek. And what is that thing? To dwell in the house of the Lord. That first verb tells us a lot. We need to dwell in God's presence. See, we know that this is not a literal request to live in the house of the Lord. You might say, well, David is asking to be removed from this world and to be with God in heaven, but he says he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, not in the next life, rather in this life now. So what David is saying is that his one thing, the one thing that he wants is to be in the presence of God. He wants to learn to live in God's presence. Here's my question. What is the one thing that you want? What is your heart's desire? Most people would say, well, I want to be happy, or I want to be fulfilled. I want to be able to live. All nice answers, but there's one problem. What if you're not in that place right now? What if you're living in the middle of a literal worldwide pandemic? Or what if striving to find happiness or fulfillment actually causes you stress or anxiety and worry? Then what? Well, Psalm 27 gives us the key. Dwelling with God, right? And to dwell is to live in the presence of God. Here's the cool thing. The other two verbs in this verse actually describe how to live in God's presence. They describe how to make being in God's presence your one thing. So the psalmist says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And catch this, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. So the first thing we need to do is an action verb, right? We need to gaze upon the Lord. What does it mean to gaze on his beauty? It's the difference between knowing about God and knowing God. This is the difference between knowing he is holy and loving and experiencing his holiness and love. See, I heard this a long time ago. What you gaze at has your attention. What you glance at does not. Let me see if I can illustrate it here. Maybe pick something in your room to focus your attention on, right? So gaze at this. If you're here today and maybe at home, look at something and you focus here, then this has your attention. You can still see the things that are around this, but your focus is here. So we need to keep our focus on God, right? Gazing upon the Lord. Then the things, right, that are going on around us in this world will not have our attention. We glance at those things. If we gaze at the things that are happening around us all the time and God is not our focus, then these things become preeminent in our lives. They take the focal point. And now all of a sudden we're glancing at God and he doesn't have our attention. God says, gaze upon the Lord. When you gaze at the world and glance at God, then the world and its troubles have your attention. And guess what happens? You begin to worry. But when you gaze at God and you glance at the things of this world, then God has your attention, and the trouble of this life are out of focus. One of the things I love about music is sometimes the right song at the right time captures exactly how I feel. Maybe you remember the words to this song. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, learning not only to know about God, but to make him your focus, that's what it looks like to dwell with God. Back to verse 4. One thing I ask, one thing do I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. See, I think we have to seek God always. He doesn't just say gaze on your beauty, but also seek him. Now, that word seek is a very, very specific Hebrew word. It actually means to go get counsel. So what it means is, when I come to you, I'm trying to find out what your will is, O Lord. He wants to obey. He wants to find out God's will, and he wants to submit to it. Now, let's put this in the context of marriage. Right? I could make my wife, Bonnie, my focus. I could gaze upon her beauty. That wouldn't be hard for me. But a big part of marriage is seeking. Marriage is about learning each other and then taking that knowledge and serving each other. Let me give you an illustration. Bonnie and I have been married almost 24 years. A while back, I learned something about Bonnie that I never knew in the many years, the 20-some years that we have been married. I walked into the kitchen, and she was reaching up into the cabinet to get something, but she couldn't quite reach it. And so she grabbed one of those long kitchen knives and sort of got up in the cabinet with this long kitchen knife, right? And so I was like, that's interesting tool to use for that. And a little later that same day, I was out in the yard. I was working on cleaning out the gutters, one of my least favorite jobs in the yard. Matter of fact, I took most of the gutters off my house since then. But a little later, I was on the roof. I was cleaning out the gutters, and Bonnie, I asked her to come out and help me, and I needed some trash bags. She threw those up to me. She hooked up the hose and handed that so I could kind of scrub out the gutters. And so when I was spraying out the gutters and the water was coming down, we noticed that some of the downspouts were still blocked. And Bonnie went in there and started sort of pulling some of those leaves that had gotten clogged in the bottom, and she couldn't get them all. So she disappeared into the house, and wasn't long before she came out, and I looked up, and here she came out with that same kitchen knife. I mean, apparently, that knife is her tool of choice. After 24 years of marriage, I learned something, right? And that night, I slept with one eye open. You know, you just never know. See, marriage is not only about gazing, it's about seeking. See, my job is to seek to know Bonnie and then take that knowledge and serve her. You can't just live selfishly. You can't just walk around and do anything you want, not trying to find out how to serve that person, right? We're still in the context of marriage, right? Not making sacrifices for that person, not obeying the needs and the wishes of that person, and then expect to jump in bed and have a wonderful time of gazing at your spouse. If you think it's going to work, it doesn't. It never works that way. And I think that's how many people approach God. It's like we like to sing the songs and pray the prayers, but we don't really allow our knowledge of God to move us to go out and do the will of God. See, my job as a Christian is not to just gaze upon the beauty of God, not to just see the wonder of who He is. That's part of dwelling, but the other part is to seek Him with all my heart. And as we seek Him, right? We begin to know Him, and that knowledge should move us to serve Him with our whole lives. You want to overcome worry? I know it's difficult times. Dwell in God's presence. Gaze upon God's beauty. Seek to know Him and serve Him. You see, Tim Keller said, worry is not believing God will get it right, and bitterness is believing God got it wrong. Listen to how this song ends. Psalm 27 says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I fully believe with everything that I am that we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living now. Through this time, somehow God will reveal Himself. Somehow God will be glorified. I don't believe that we can blame God. I think we have to gaze at God. We have to be willing to seek Him, and that will help us to dwell with Him through this difficult time. He says, wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait. See, we can live with confidence, right? The opposite of worry. We can live with confidence knowing that God is good. Be patient. Dwell in His presence. Gaze upon God. Keep your focus on Him. Seek to know Him and His will. Then you will not be stricken by fear and worry. I want to close by reading from the words of Jesus. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to how closely this fits with Psalm 27. Jesus says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's learn to dwell in the presence of God. Let's let our gaze be fixed on him so that he becomes our focus, not all these things around us, all of the things that are going on in this world. And may we seek first his kingdom, trusting that he will take care of our needs. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for how you have loved us. Lord, we thank you that in these difficult times, we have the opportunity to dwell in your presence. We have the just the chance for all of us to know you more deeply, to seek you, to gaze upon your beauty. So, Lord, today as we conclude and as we worship, Lord, I just pray that wherever our church is gathered, in your name, that you would be there. That you would bind us together in your love, that you would remind us that you are God and that you are good. And that would help us to dispel some of the anxious times around us. Lord, help us to gaze. Help us to seek so that we can dwell in your presence forever. Pray this in Jesus' name.